My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, would any of you consider yourself to be fishermen? Like to go out on the lake, the cool morning, where it's calm and clear, without all of the hassle that comes with everyday life, being able to relax and enjoy the beauty of God's creation? Or maybe this time of year, that's for you. You put up the tent or the shack, you go and sit on your stool, your bucket, and put a line in a hole. Simple. Calming. Peaceful. Even if you don't consider yourself to be a fisherman, I bet you know someone who is. Who enjoys doing this? You ever heard the stories from those individuals who like to go out there on the lake? The story about the biggest fish that they ever caught? Good old fishing tale, you've heard them before. No matter how many times you hear it, every single time it seems like that fish gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Because they've got to tell it over and over again. Or you think that's bad, you just wait for the story about the one that got away. Because it was so big it snapped the line, and after enough retellings of that, you think that that fish, well, it must be comparable to the one that swallowed the prophet Jonah. Because how could it have been any smaller? Fishing tales, they get more extravagant every time. Imagine for a moment how extravagant it must have seemed when the disciples retold the fishing story from our gospel lesson. You should have been there. We had so many fish that the boats were sinking. Sure. Right. It seems unrealistic. The problem was is that the disciples who tell that story, they didn't need to embellish it at all. They didn't need to add to its splendor because it was miraculous all on its own. Jesus has a purpose here. He has a reason. He wants us to know the story too because of what it relays, of what it means. Because Jesus has a purpose in all of this. In fact, what we see is that those same disciples who were there trying to haul those fish into a boat would be the ones who God would say, "Now you will be my fishermen, not for fish, but for men. You will be the one who goes out into the world and cast the net of the gospel in order to save souls." Let's take a look at our gospel lesson once again as we get a chance to hear really what is Jesus and the ultimate fishing story. Jesus had been gathering disciples. He'd been moving around the region. He had been walking here and there. It's still very early in his ministry, yet this is the time where he's already gathered a good amount of those who want to listen and hear. Says that he's here at the Sea of Gennesaret. He's gathered around the lake shore. People are already following him. And as was his custom, if people are going to follow, he's going to teach. But that's not exactly easy to do. When you're trying to walk along the lake shore and you have a crowd pressing in so tightly on you that the people on the outer end of that circle can't even see or hear what you're saying. And so Jesus gets into the boat. He tells the fishermen are there to head out just a little bit from the shore. Fishermen who had been out all night. I mean, that's what you did. You fished at night when the water was cool, because then the fish would come up to eat. During the heat of the day, right around noon, that's the wrong time to go fishing there. Because as the shallows are so warm from the sun, the fish retreat into the deeper water where it's cooler. They wait out the day. So here they are, Peter, James, and John with the rest of their fishing companions, and they're done for the day. They're cleaning their nets out of all the gunk and the seaweed, anything that would get stuck in it. Mend the nets as best as they could because they need to get some sleep before they go out the next night. But Jesus gets into the boat and he says, "Take me out." Peter does. Peter knew who Jesus was, at least to some degree. He'd probably heard him preach before. He'd heard the stories about what he was able to do. And here comes Jesus as he puts out on the lake. You can kind of see the crowd gathering on the beach in this semicircle, almost like Jesus is now on stage. And with the natural amplification of speaking over that clear water, everyone's able to see. Everyone's able to hear because hearing this message is so vitally important. When Jesus gets all said and done, That's when he turns back to Peter and he says, now I want you to head out into the deeper waters and I want you to throw your net overboard. Well, Lord, it's not the right time. It's not the ideal time. This isn't when you go fishing. We haven't caught anything all night. And yet, because you say to do it, even though I know it's not the best idea, I'll do it anyway. Imagine that. What trust Peter must have had in Jesus to do it. Because as soon as he gets back to shore, he's going to have to clean his net out again. But keep in mind, as Jesus is sitting there in the boat, as he's preaching to the people, he's not the only one in the boat, because Peter and his fishing companions were in there too to get the boat out away from shore. The entire time, what is Peter doing? He's sitting there in the boat with a front row seat, listening to absolutely everything that Jesus has to say. He's hearing the message too. It must have done something. It must have worked its miraculous power within his heart, because Peter is willing to throw the net overboard. And what a catch he gets. So many fish that the nets begin to break. So many fish they have to call in their companions in the other boat. They fill both boats so full of fish that it's so heavy the boats begin to sink. No one's going to believe this story when they get back to shore. No one except for those who are here will ever believe that it ever was this close to true. And yet, the miraculous power of Jesus. Jesus has a purpose in this. Peter had already heard the message. The disciples had already heard the message. Those who were following had heard what he had to say. And now this miracle just gives evidence. Like every other miracle Jesus ever performed, every time that he healed the sick, every time that he raised the dead or drove out demons, no matter what it is that Jesus is doing, he always has a purpose. And it's never just for the miracle's sake. When Jesus gives those humanitarian relief gestures, really, those miracles when he's healing the sick and giving food to the poor. I mean, he does it to help people's physical need, but that's never the primary purpose. Every miracle that Jesus performs is to give power and attention to his message. Because the message is what saves. The message is what is important. And now think how true that message must have been ringing in Peter's ears as he's trying to haul those fish in the boat. Because if this man can do such miraculous things, if he can make this happen, then what he says must be true. The teaching he gives must be the truth. How could it be explained any other way? Now they had a reason to listen and a reason to trust if the message wasn't good enough all on its own. It was so effective that the moment that they get back to shore, you hear Peter. When he says, Lord, go away from me because I am a sinner and I am not worthy to be in your presence. And Jesus makes the call. Now you will be the ones who don't throw your nets into the lake to grab fish, but you're going to come and learn from me so that you can go out and catch people. I will give you the net of the gospel and you will throw it into the depths of despair and sin in this world, and you will haul those who are sinking out into the light of life, because that is what the gospel does. You will be the ones who do it. And they leave everything behind. They leave their boats there. They leave their nets there. They leave their families there. And if you think about it, they also leave the greatest catch of fish they ever got there. Not that I think it goes to waste. There's other fishermen present. Don't think that Jesus is wasting all this. But there is something more important for Peter, James, and John to be doing. And Jesus is going to spend the next 3 years getting them ready. Because once he dies on the cross and is raised to life again, once he ascends back into heaven, someone has to take up that gospel ministry. Someone needs to continue to tell the world so that the gospel can spread like wildfire. And it does. And it comes down to those who had learned, those who had heard, and those who had seen the miracles as evidence. They would be the ones who would go out fishing for souls in Christ's name. And we know the effect that it had. Because what starts with a dozen, 100, and 1,000 has turned into millions. Because the gospel works. Would you have called people like Peter, James, and John if you were Jesus? Of all of the people who could go out into the world with the gospel, of all the people who would be the ones to proclaim that message to the next generation, who would you have chosen? Would you have chosen three fishermen? Normally you think if you have a message that important, you want to choose somebody who's got some wisdom and intelligence. Choose somebody who's learned, who understands the scriptures. Maybe the teachers of the law and those who had dedicated their lives to the scriptures. And yet, who does Jesus call on? Fishermen. Blue-collar folk. They work with their hands. They go out at night. Think about it. They work second and third shift. It's not exactly who we would consider to be the ideal candidate, to be the ones taking the most important and powerful message the world has ever known throughout. And yet, this is exactly who Jesus calls. And we see in Peter's words, we see the fact that he says, I am not worthy to even be in your presence, let alone to be your messenger, Lord. And yet, they must have been. Because if they weren't, Jesus wouldn't have called them. You know that ultimate fishing story? It's still going on. Let me explain. Because the ultimate fishing story has nothing to do with the massive amount of fish that they hauled in from that lake. But it has to do with what is beginning right now, with the fact that those disciples would go out and they would, by their effort, the Spirit working through them, would convert thousands, which turns into tens and hundreds of thousands, which turns into millions. That's the greatest fishing story right there. And it's been going on for 2,000 years. Because more and more people have come to know Christ as their Savior, and by that life-changing gospel have been saved, hauled out of the depths of their sin and despair, and shown the light of life, Jesus, His death and His resurrection. It's been passed down generation to generation as the net of the gospel is handed over until it comes to you. Because make no mistake whatsoever that the net of the gospel is placed firmly in your hands now. As Jesus says, I have chosen you. And you might think to yourself, well, he could have done a little bit better. Maybe turn somebody a little bit more wise and learned, somebody who knows the Bible better, a better speaker. Let's leave it to our pastors. Let's leave it to our teachers. Or maybe at least somebody who doesn't get all tongue-tied. And yet, you're the ones Christ called. You're the ones Christ chose. I can't help but think that in the history of the Scriptures that we have another individual who God directly called, and he had a plethora of excuses on why he wasn't the right guy. I'm not wise enough. I can't speak well enough. Send somebody else. Until the fact that God got so indignant with him, who said, I chose you, and you will be the one. His name was Moses. As God sent him to Egypt to work with Pharaoh and free his people, the same Moses who God would give the laws to, who would write the first five books of the Bible, the same Moses who would lead God's people as they wandered in the wilderness. And I don't think anyone and any one of us would say that Moses wasn't a wonderful leader. He made his mistakes, but he guided God's people through one of their darkest hours. And if God can do such great things with him, a man who says, I am not worthy, what can he do with us? There's the beauty of it all. The power doesn't lie in our arm. It doesn't lie in our capability, in our eloquence. It lies in the gospel. The power is in Christ. And he can do amazing things with us. Because that ultimate fishing story continues today. Because there are people who still don't know their Savior and who need to hear that life-changing gospel of Jesus. Though we might consider ourselves to be the least, he's the one who says, and I'm sending you out first. That you who know better than anyone else what my word can do and how it can change lives, you know because you've been there and I have chosen you. And if he chose you, it must be right. because God makes no mistakes. But a beautiful story, isn't it? Might seem a little extravagant. Might seem hard to believe. But it's true. You have been called. You have been given that gospel message to proclaim to the world that they may know their Savior. What a privilege. And I hope all of us will say, what a pleasure to be able to take this message that I have come to know and that the Holy Spirit has worked within my heart, that I believe it, and take it into the world. So the fishing story continues. And it gets grander every time we tell it. Because that's the way the gospel is. It's the way the gospel works. So get to work as we take up our net and go fishing for those who don't know their Savior. Amen.